You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our very own Gwyn Gold on this song. Back from our promotions, marketing, sales department. Perhaps all three limits. Is she working?
She does a very good job.
No, she does a great job. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Joe.
How are you today?
Could you ever sing duet with her?
I have. Me and her sang a couple songs in a studio here together. And we played them, and then Ron ruined it because he didn't want to play along. They were fun songs.
Really?
They were good songs, yeah.
Surprise.
Now, the we fans' Christmas chorus.
She sang on this, too.
Well, this
you'll
I
hear
do.
Her in the background. Yeah. Listen, yeah. Jeff. That's Gwyn in the background, yeah. Now, let's get to Bob Solo. Have you heard this song, Jeff?
Yes, I have.
What did you think of Bob Solo? I thought it was better than, who was it, Orson Welles who sang it?
I thought it was all very good.
Here we go. Turn it up.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Mousy danced around.
That's professional, Jeff.
He dug deep for those low notes,
didn't he? And that's what you get from Bob, is passion.
I had to dig really deep. In fact, it was getting too deep.
I handed Bob the lyrics, and that was only the second take we did, and he delivered that gem. That's worthy of a Marconi, perhaps an Emmy, Jeff.
How about, yeah.
He's a very talented man. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Where do we start here,
we're
Jeff?
We're going to start with, can we take a diversion a little bit?
Yeah, I think you're going to go to Pitt basketball?
No.
Is that where you're going?
No.
Okay,
no,
go please.
To hockey, because
yes.
I think it's
yes.
still
start
very
hockey.
Pertinent what
yes.
happened last night. And we haven't had a chance, and you missed the first hour, so you haven't had your opportunity. But I can't believe that at age 37, Canada's best option remains Sidney Crosby. Not because he's faster, not because at this point, you know, his skills takes a back seat, I think, to some of these younger guys. But the instinct and his ability to anticipate plays before they happen.
He was the best player on the ice.
He was, but it's because of the instinct. That last goal, for example, to me that was... You know, you can talk about the power play goal to McKinnon. That's fine. We've seen him do that. He knows what he's doing. But that, to anticipate that Mitch Marner is where he is, if you look at that tape, it's almost like he did have eyes in the back of his head. He knew not only was he coming with speed, but he made sure he got back onside just in the nick of time. It was just a brilliant play.
What must be going through his mind getting to play with those quality of players again?
I'm happy for him. He deserves that.
He does. I mean, I'm excited. Not that I would root for Canada over the U.S., but I would root for Sid in the Olympic Games. I mean, this is a nice format, and I heard some of what TK was saying, and I love the thought of, instead of an all-star week, have an eight-team tournament, single elimination, eight countries, and then just have that as your – have it in whatever city that you would normally have an all-star game.
Right.
And run that.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Use the cities for the – I like that idea too, Jeff, because then it would move around. Interest would grow. You'd see competitive hockey like you really haven't seen on a regular basis. So, yeah, that's all good.
And then the most you'd play is what, 3 games?
Yeah, you can't afford the way they're doing it right now. You couldn't do 8. You'd take 3 weeks.
You couldn't do a round robin or anything like that. I mean, I'm talking about – you could do it in an all-star weekend.
It has to be tempting to – for Sid – when he plays with this kind of elite talent, just to wonder at least, man, what if I did go play with Nathan MacKinnon and we went and chased a cup together? I don't think he will. I would support whatever he wanted to do. I think he it's important to him to have his legacy here as a one uniform guy. But I just have to believe that somewhere inside, at least there's a little spark like, man, when's the next time I'm going to play in some serious high-stakes hockey games? And what would it be like to play with MacKinnon? Like, at least right. That thought, you know?
Now, there are very few teams that have that type of talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to put a team together that looks like Canada. But, yeah, I hope this scratches the itch for him.
Yeah, me too.
You know, knowing what the rest of the season's probably going to be like when he returns with the Penguins, but... And I have no problem with him sitting out playing in this tournament.
He can do whatever he wants. He's done enough.
Yes. And I have no problem if he were to say, you know what, I want to go chase a cup. Trade me.
Mm-hmm. It's all on his terms, whatever he wants. But I don't think that's going to happen. I asked TK also, Joe, about how long he says he can play at least 4 more years. I think it could be more than that.
Man, it sure looks like it. It was remarkable to watch that last night. And all the stories I read about it all agreed. Like, he was the best player. Plus, he's coming off an injury. Like, he hadn't played a real game in a week and a half or so? What a performance. Jeff?
The beginning of that, by the way, I have to admit, you're watching it and you're wondering, I didn't know Mario was coming out.
That was tremendous.
When he came out, I almost got emotional. I'm like watching this, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was.
This is incredible.
And as I mentioned to Bob, I couldn't help but think this needs to be happening in Pittsburgh. Yeah, not necessarily that, but him being in the building. Do you have the Jay Caulfield clip from before? Do you have it, Limits? Let's take a listen to this, Jeff, because this was just 2 weeks ago. Not many people are closer to Mario, I wager to say, than Jay. And I was curious about the relationship with Fenway Sports Group and how that seems tattered, and Mario's never around. So I wanted to ask Jay about that, and this is what he said. It's not the same without Mario ever around.
No, it's not. It is. You can feel that in the building. You can feel where, you know, the suite that he had, all the atmosphere. I agree with that, Joe. And I don't think there's much movement. They've got, as far as that, he's going to be in town with the camp that he has, his fantasy camp. He'll be back. He'll be at a few games that way. But that's, you know, yeah, the key player, the key point, and what he means to the city, when he is not in the building, it truly, you feel it. And then when it's going sideways, it's even more of a glaring moment. When he's in the building, there's a buzz about it. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to rectify that. The business decisions between each other. But Mara doesn't, you know, if he feels strongly about something, he's not going again. He's not going to change what he feels. And if they can come to a decision, it's very interesting now that, you know, a minority piece is up for sale and all that goes with that. And people think Mario might jump back in. I mean, all these things kind of come into play. But Mario is true to his word. And whatever, you know, if you kind of go sideways on him, he's not, and he has not been here. He has not been. He's been in the building for Yager's thing. He's been in the building for his camp. And that's it. And he said that's what it was going to be like. And it's exactly what he's done. And I don't see it changing much. And unless those two minds can come together, because that's a shame. Because you could have a business, and then you could have Mario there, and he's the face of this city for hockey.
Jeff?
It's the same things I've heard from people that are close to him. I like how he said the business dealings went sideways. I think that I've heard him described other ways, and Mario's feelings are very clear on the current ownership group. And listen, it's not like Mario is an attention hog. Like, or even if he were still owning – when he owned the team, you only saw him a couple of times a year. It's not like – you know, you went up into his box every day and every game, and he was waving high or doing. But the fact that it's that he doesn't seem welcome, or he doesn't feel welcome, or things got to a point where he just doesn't want to be in the building, that sucks.
Ownership felt like it was steeped in Penguins history. he was the guy along with Ron Burkle, and you hoped it would continue that way. And instead, it feels like they've alienated the most important person in the history of the franchise. And they just feel, even aside from that, they just feel like a distant, cold corporate entity. And this is one of their properties. That's the way it feels, I think, to a lot of people. Do you get that idea?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, do they have people around? Yes, they do have people with the Fenway group around. Are they vocal up front? No, they're not. I mean, you don't see them. You don't know them. What you know, the Fenway group is the Boston Red Sox or soccer.
Yeah.
I mean,
Liverpool.
I mean, you just don't see them here. And that next year will be interesting because next year is what, the 35th of the first cup? 35th anniversary?
Yeah.
So,
see, Mario does, you know, I think he will on certain occasions show up. It has nothing to do with the ownership. It's about the personnel that they're honoring, like Yager. If, in that situation, he would, you know, but he, you know, he's very serious about relationships. And if he trusts you to do something and you don't, then all of a sudden that changes. Trust can be broken very easily, and it's hard to repair when you lose it. So,
big mistake, I would say. Now, would people care if the Penguins were winning big? Would it be a huge deal? No, but they're not. So it becomes a huge deal. Jeff, I want to jump around here. You're steeped in Pitt athletics and the Pitt basketball team. And really, I would combine it with the football team. I had Chris Carter at the Post-Gazette. And this was just, you know, his best thinking. He wasn't saying this was cold, hard fact. It seems to me in some ways that if Alan Green, the new AD, even wanted to move on from a Capel or a Narduzzi, that he stuck with them for a while. And I know it's too early to pronounce this basketball season a failure. He may not want to move on from Capel. Things have gotten a little better there, whatever. But the fact remains that they could miss for the sixth time in his 7 years. Carter tells me that he doesn't think, given Pitt's financial constraints at the moment, that they would be in any position to make those buyouts on either guy until after 2027. So basically, you have an athletic director, if you believe that, who is sort of hamstrung here if he wanted to make a change in football or basketball. Is that what you're hearing? And what do you make of that?
Yeah, I agree with Chris. Listen, Alan is not shy in saying this, that his number one goal is to raise money. The number two goal is to raise money. The number three goal is to raise money, and four and five and six and seven. That's why he came here. He came here to get money.
Helps if you're winning big, right? To
it
raise
does,
money.
But now going into next school year, there's the potential of having that $20 million where you're paying athletes.
Yeah.
I think you probably owe it to those coaches to see what they do with that money, where it's a little bit more of an even playing field. And if you can raise even more on top of that for your collectives, then you give them a different chance to succeed than maybe that they've had at this point. But to your point, I mean, you look what's going on with the university as a whole with potential for federal cuts. And this is not a time where you're looking to pay people that aren't working. But that always can change with one donor who says, I'll write the check. But I just don't see that happening. I think, and this is just an early opinion, I've seen Alan and Jeff interact a little bit when we've done the Capel show. They seem to be very much on the same page and anxious to work together. And I don't see him coming in and doing that. I see him coming in and focusing on raising money and the coaching stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think is front burner for him.
No, it's quite a predicament to be in. Again, we talked about this yesterday. These long-term contracts, they're not necessary anymore. I don't think anyone is going to think that because you're on a 7-year contract or 10-year contract that you're going to be there for those 10 years. And if you think that, you're crazy, because it doesn't happen. Players don't stay. Coaches don't stay. No need to do it. Why box yourself into this corner where you owe all this money and their buyouts? Go year to year. You know, Jeff Capel's our coach this year. Prove to me you want another contract for next year. If he wants to leave because he has no security, so be it. Times have changed, and this whole thing should change. You should not be obligated or feel necessary to give a guy a 10-year contract. Mike Gottfried used to get, remember him, a lifetime contract. How long did he last after the lifetime contract? It's just all smoke and mirrors, like you're trying to create this image. This guy's going to be here. You don't need to do that anymore.
I understand what you're saying, but I do think it's important to recruits to know that if I go to that university that that guy's going to be my
but
coach.
But he may not be.
But
and you may not be as the recruit.
Well, I mean, that could be the same for anything. But if I'm looking to come, and I know Jeff Capel's signed for the for what would be the length of my career, if I decide to stay there, that makes a difference to me as opposed to somebody else who's on a year-to-year contract.
I hear that for sure. It just feels like, and I'll admit, when Narduzzi signed that, I was like, you know what? I've adjusted my sights for Pitt football. I've seen it when they've gone through coaches like Sox. I'm okay with this. But the fall that the program has taken, why not just sign him through, like, this thing was signed a few years back, like you said, through each recruiting cycle. Okay, a five-year deal makes sense.
Right.
But not 10. In retrospect, that was too long.
I think, to Bob's overall point, I think that stuff will lessen and that it might be 4, 5, or 6-year contracts that you're looking for some of these guys, unless you have somebody that won you a national championship or back-to-back championships, or you look at Kirby Smart in Georgia. I mean, what more does he have to do? That could be an exception to the rule. The thing I'm really fascinated to see is, okay, now the ruling has been overturned to where you don't have to split that $20 million payroll between men and women. Well, is that going to hold? And if that holds, what percentage goes to football? What percentage does Jeff get? Because you know these coaches are going to be jockeying for as much money as they can. What does it mean for the other programs? How are they going to handle gender equity? Like, it's just, I mean, they've got so much going on. I don't think that these things, as long as there are no irreparable issues with teams or with the coaches themselves, I just don't see a lot of turnover in their coaching staff right now.
Yeah, I maybe they should just redo the buyout situation too. Maybe there needs to be a fundamental change in how much money you're obligated to move. You know, when it comes to this point, you know, I don't know. I just think it's very difficult, and I understand what you just said, Jeff. They're stuck. You know, and I brought this up to Joe yesterday, that Neil Brown, I think, was given another year, not because he deserved it, because they just didn't want to pay more money in a buyout. Another year meant less money. Another year after that would have meant even less money. But then you hurt your program, too. So, tough thing to have.
But if you're West Virginia, did they hurt it irreparably, or did they get the guy that they wanted to come back and now they're okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see about that.
But
in basketball, they seem to have given themselves a much better chance here this year.
And you mean in West Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, I think DeVries has done a great job with that program. And I still think 20 wins is on the table for Pitt. They have some holes they need to fill, and we don't know what Jalen Lowe's status is going to be. And I think Jeff has done a good job in the portal. And maybe if he's given a little bit more money or more support, and this, you know, this $20 million thing helps level the playing field a little bit, then maybe Pitt will even be even better.